we're starting a new series about the Holy Spirit. It's called Empowered, and Zach's on vacation. Can you turn my reverb and my mic down a little bit? Thanks. And so Zach's on vacation, so he asked me to speak. My name is Micah Stevens. Some of you, I think I saw a couple new faces that I don't know, so welcome to FSM. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and I think in the church we talk about Jesus, right, all the time. And we talk about the fatherhood of God often. But Holy Spirit kind of gets left on the wayside, I think, sometimes. And it breaks my heart because I'm going to go out on a limb, and this isn't, I wouldn't form a church theology around this, but I would say you probably interact with Holy Spirit more, like in this day and age of the church, you probably interact with the Holy Spirit probably more than you do on a daily basis with Jesus or the Father. Does that make sense? So like you interact with them as well, but right now you kind of do it through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit kind of reveals both of those to you. Does that make sense? Okay. So we're going to start, and I simply want to read a list to you, and it's a hefty list, okay, about what Holy Spirit does, who he is, ways he shows himself to us, okay? So I'm going to go through it super fast. If you want it later, if you want to go over anything, you can ask any of the leaders, and we'd be happy to explain any of it. Cool? But then we're going to get into the teaching. But I kind of want to have us blown away with who Holy Spirit is, and then in that, like, oh gosh, that was a lot of information, let Holy Spirit kind of just take the rest of the day. Is that cool? Cool. Okay. So Holy Spirit, and I'm going to put that first slide up there. Holy Spirit has the qualities of a person. Okay? Oftentimes we think of Holy Spirit as this, like, ethereal wisp, I think. And it's like, do you know what I'm talking about? No? Anybody? When you think about Holy Spirit, you're like, you don't think about, like, your bro or your sis or something. Like, you don't think about, like, this friend. You think about this, like, it's always blue. Everybody knows Holy Spirit is blue. And he comes when the synth and the pads come in worship. That's when Holy Spirit comes. Everybody knows that in the church, which it's not true. But I don't, he might be blue. I have no idea. Okay, so he has the qualities of a person. He has a mind, Romans 8:27. He has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. He has emotions, Romans 15:30. He speaks, Acts 13:2. He bears witness and testifies, John 15:26 and Romans 8:16. He prays and makes intercession, Romans 8:26. So he has the qualities of a person. He has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions, he speaks, bears witness and testifies, and he prays and makes intercession. Okay? He also has the feelings of a person. He can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. He can be assaulted, Hebrews 10:29. He can be lied to, Acts 5:3. He can be blasphemed or spoken against, Matthew 12:31 and 32. He can be resisted, Acts 7:31. He can be vexed or made mad, Isaiah 63:10. So this is like a lot, and I had coffee, and so there's junk in my throat, you know what I'm saying? Then he can also be quenched or held back, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Some symbols of the Holy Spirit that we find in Scripture and some of the ways that he shows up is he shows up through water, which represents a life-giving flow. I've been in worship times where, like, we were outside this one time, and we were, like, in this big tent, and worship started getting really good. I was at a youth event, and it just began to downpour. And the whole entire room, you could just feel, like, just this new life, this like, washing away. And that was Holy Spirit coming like water in that time. So he comes like water, and we see that in John 7:38 and 39 and Isaiah 44:3. He comes like fire, which represents the holiness of God. We can find that in Matthew 3:11, Isaiah 4:4 and Acts 2:3. He also comes like the wind or breath, which represents this new life, revival or renewal. Acts 2:2, John 3:8 and Job 32:8. He comes like oil, which is, it's this representation of him bringing anointing. Psalm 23:5, 92:10, and Luke 4:18. He also comes like a dove, which represents the nature of purity and peace. Matthew 3:16 and Luke 22. And the last one of the ways, I guess you could say he comes, is through the finger of God. And that's, it's his powers for specific areas. Whenever you, like, maybe the Lord is sitting there and he's pointing at a very specific sin in your heart Or maybe he's pointing you in a very specific direction. For me, a couple years ago, he was like, Micah, you're going to Guangzhou, China. And he pointed me straight there and he said exactly what I'm supposed to do. And that was the finger of God. That was the Holy Spirit coming like the finger of God and pointing me in that way. Cool? Do all of those make sense? Okay, cool. I know it's hefty. We have like four more of these slides. Yeah. He's a big guy, so he's pretty intense. we can find that in Luke 11 and Matthew 12, 28. But oftentimes I think we don't really know what Holy Spirit actually does. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or what he does, is he draws people to Jesus. I'm not going to read the verses. You can see him up there. He draws people to Jesus. His kind of big thing that he's all about is he's continuing the work of Jesus after Jesus left. So Jesus leaves, Holy Spirit comes, and he continues the work. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. He also is the regeneration. He also dwells with every believer. He seals us. He infills the believer. And believers are guided by him. And he empowers the believer. So far, just from what he does, I'm pretty sure we want him in our lives. And I'm pretty sure we don't want to forget about him and neglect him. So now let me tell you even more why you want him. Here's a couple things that you can't do without him. You can't really obey God, 1 Peter 1:22. You can't really fully worship God, which stinks, Philippians 3:3 and John 4:24. Without him, you can't really pray effectively, Romans 8:26 and Jude 20. You can't really preach God's word with anointing. You can't witness and reach the lost, Acts 1:8. You can't really cast out demons. You can't really have true joy. You can't really have victory over the flesh. I'm pretty sure you want him. Yeah? We getting a feel of, I kind of want him in my life. So these are a couple things we are commanded to do with the Spirit. So the Lord sent Holy Spirit down, sent a part of himself, and he said, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. He kind of gave us the instruction manual of what we're supposed to do, okay? So we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. And notice, none of these things, it's not just suggested that we do them. We are commanded to do them. It's not just like, hey, if you think about it, you should do it. The Lord's pretty like, hey, do this. Okay, so we are commanded to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be led and guided by the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, to minister under the anointing of the Spirit, operate under the gifts of the Spirit, worship in the Spirit, manifest the fruit of the Spirit, experience the communion of the Spirit, and my favorite, sing in the Spirit. So the things that we are commanded to do. Now what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. Because this last list is what he wants to do in your life. So what I want you to do is I want you to try to imagine Holy Spirit standing before you. And this is what he is saying to you about what he wants to do in your life. Okay. He wants to aid you, assist you, help you, guide you, lead you, give you revelation of Scripture, release his gifts through you, give you boldness, teach you, strengthen you, refresh you, empower you, anoint you, protect you, fellowship with you, help you pray, give you rest, give you wisdom, reveal Jesus in your life, be a friend and comfort you. I'm going to read that list one more time. This is what he wants to do on a daily basis in your life. He wants to aid you, assist you, help you, guide you, lead you, give you revelation of Scripture, release his gifts through you, give you boldness, teach you, strengthen you, refresh you, empower you, anoint you, protect you, fellowship with you, help you pray, give you rest, give you wisdom, reveal Jesus in your life, be a friend and comfort you. You can open your eyes now. Now, do you want him in your life? Because I think you do. That sounds awesome. None of those sound bad, in my opinion. I grew up in a church that, and I love this church that I grew up in, but we didn't really talk about Holy Spirit. We didn't really do anything, and we wouldn't really focus on Holy Spirit all that often. And that always baffled me as a kid. But I was also very, very scared of Holy Spirit, because I would see in the church I grew up in, there was this one in particular lady that would stand at the front, and she'd have her hands up, okay, which was a no-no in the church I grew up in. And as a Baptist pastor's son, you didn't do no-nos. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this lady is crazy. She has her hands lifted in worship. She would shout, like, can I get an amen, you know, in the middle of the service? And we were like, everybody knew, like, that's the crazy lady in the service. And, like, it was a lot of judgment, which is not good. But I remember as a kid, I was like, if that's what Holy Spirit is, I don't want it. I don't want to be the crazy person in church. But really, that lady just, like, first off, first and foremost, the Lord hit me later in life just as the simple fact of, like, if you're sitting somewhere and someone starts doing something that looks crazy, whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, it is not your place to judge. That's the Lord's. It's not our place to stand there and be like, that person is crazy and out of their mind. They're not worshiping the Lord. Because as a kid, that's what I did. And I think oftentimes we all do that in worship. And we'll see something that looks weird and out of the ordinary, and we're like, no way. My first real encounter with the Holy Spirit, I guess you could say, was I was in this worship time, and I was leading worship, and we went to this much more charismatic church. I'd never been to a charismatic church before, or a Holy Spirit-filled church really at all. And there was a little stage, and I'm like, I have like a 2-foot square where I can move on the stage with my guitar. And right away, the flag twirlers come out in the back, and I've never seen this before. And so I am pooping my pants. Like, I'm like, watch out, because the wrath of God is about to descend on the room, because this is so blasphemous. Like, surely we're all going to get in trouble. Like, Lord, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know what's going on. And this lady locks eyes with me from the back of the room, and she starts running towards me in the middle of worship. She gets, I would say, about this close to me, okay? And I'm doing worship, and I'm like trying to not hit her with my strumming hand and all this, and she starts screaming in tongues at me for the next 3 hours. I was terrified. And I was like, Jesus, surely this isn't you. Like, this just seems so weird. And I was so freaked out. And Holy Spirit was like, Micah, like, why do people fall over? They can't stand up. Right. Okay. Great. Cool. Micah, I created everything. Yeah, okay. So is it crazy if I like knocked someone over in worship because of how good I am? Is that crazy of a thought? I guess not. I guess you created us, so I guess you could knock us over if you wanted. But Lord, I don't want to be knocked over. I don't want to be the lady that runs up and freaks some like just out of high school kid out by screaming in tongues in their face. And he's like, Micah, the reason I did that is because I needed to make you feel uncomfortable, because you've been so stuck, and I needed to kind of hit you in the face with really awkwardness so I could reveal who I am, so I could reveal the fact that I am bigger and I am greater than you can imagine. You guys, the thing about Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit is kind of the continuation of intimacy that the Lord wanted to give to us. Okay, so let me explain what I mean. We're going to put John 16, 5 through 10 up on the screen. This is a hefty passage. I know I've read a ton, but I'm just going to read this whole passage so we can get context. So this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to the disciples. And it says, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you. And he said, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. And so if you can imagine yourself as a disciple, you've been hanging out with Jesus for a couple of years. He's kind of been your bro. You've done pretty much everything together. You've seen him do crazy things. He's turned water into wine and all these things. And like, he's just a beast. And you're like, you haven't yet really figured out really that he's God yet. Like, you're kind of figuring it out, but you're not fully there yet. And so you're kind of wondering, but you're also like, this is my best bud right now. I don't want him to go away. I don't want him to leave. But he's saying, hey, I'm going to leave, and it's going to be to your advantage. And I think, like, if I was one of the disciples, because the disciples were just kind of average dudes, fishermen and all these things, and I probably would be like, no way. Like, I'm just kind of figuring this thing out with you. I don't want you to go away. And so then Jesus dies, right? He comes back to life, and then he leaves. And you have to imagine, at Pentecost, I think it's fair to say, the disciples are sitting there, and they're waiting on this, like, friend of a friend. Okay, and it would be like, say all of you guys are sitting in this room, and you're, this is a flawed analogy, but kind of works. You'll get the idea. So imagine, I came in here, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm not going to teach today. My brother's going to teach. He's pretty cool. See ya. And, like, he's just going to become your youth leader. My brother and I were similar, but you guys would kind of be like, it's just like, we don't really know anything about him. He was just like, oh, hey, this friend's coming. Like, oh, my bro's coming. And you guys wouldn't really know what to expect. And so you're sitting there as a disciple, and you're waiting on this friend of Jesus, and you're like, you kind of just figured out, okay, he is God. He just came back to life. Okay, he definitely is God. He definitely just saved us. Oh my gosh, this is getting crazy. I'm finally understanding a little bit more. But then he left, and he said it's going to be good. And you're kind of confused. And you're like, I don't know what to expect. And you're kind of nervous. And then Holy Spirit comes into the room. And Holy Spirit is so similar to the Father. And he's so similar to Jesus. That I can make a wager, I guess, that when he came in the room, they knew exactly. They were like, this is his bro. This is Jesus' friend that we've been waiting for. This is the helper that he's different from Jesus, but yet he's really similar. He has some, like, I don't really see him. Like, it's just a little bit different, but yet he's just like Jesus, but yet, and he's doing the same things. And so Holy Spirit comes, and it was this continuation of intimacy, because you see, Jesus, he could be with them, you know, like every once in a while, you know, like he would be with them throughout the day and stuff, but I don't imagine that Jesus was there sleeping with every disciple every time they woke up and had like a crazy night and a weird dream or something, and they were like frantically like sweating or whatever. I don't imagine that Jesus was like right there talking to them. He might have been. But Jesus was like, I love you so much. I want to get more intimate with you. I'm your best friend, so I'm this intimate with you. But I want, as the Lord, I want to get even more intimate with you. And so I'm going to humble myself, part of the Trinity, again, and I'm going to come and live inside of you so that you don't even have to say anything. I know your feelings. You don't even have to explain it to me, because I already know what's going on, because I'm feeling it as you're going through like this big struggle. I'm right inside of you. And I'm feeling it, and I get this blessed opportunity to bless you and love on you and aid you, assist you, and comfort you and be a friend at every moment of every day. And so it's like this, like the next step in the Lord bringing this sweet, intimate relationship with us, which is sweet. You guys, Holy Spirit is fully holy. Like, he is fully God. Back in the Old Testament, right, they have God in the tabernacle, and like in this, you know, they put him in a little box kind of thing. I guess that's a terrible translation, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't like quote that, but you know what I mean. And so they have him in this box, right, and God comes and fills this box, and like people would come up, and they would just like touch the box, and they would die. Because the Lord is so holy, and he's so majestic, and he's so incredible that they couldn't handle him. And then God's like, hey, I'm going to send my son. He's going to hang out with you. But then also, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit later. And I'm going to make it to where you are constantly in my presence. Because that's how highly I think of you. Because Jesus, yes, he did all of these acts and these works, right? And it was awesome. He did incredible things. And Holy Spirit is continuing that, but he's doing it in a different way because Holy Spirit is using you and me. And that's kind of one of the main differences. Is Holy Spirit, it was like, hey, like Jesus did all these awesome things and he set it up perfectly. And now I get to come as Holy Spirit and I get to infill you to do the things that Jesus did. Because that is how highly I think of you. That's how highly the Lord thinks of you, that he wants you in your everyday to reflect his majesty and his holiness and his perfection and all that he is. And I know personally on my own, I can't do that. I mess up all the time. But Holy Spirit, he totally can. And so he comes, and in my weakness, he's like, bro, I got this. Just listen. Just stop for a second. Stop letting all the craziness of your day, like, control your emotions and how you respond and all this, and just stop. Because I want to comfort you right now. I want to aid you, and I want to get you through this. And at every moment, the Holy Spirit is just like sitting there ecstatic to talk to you. And yes, we can grieve him and these types of things. But Holy Spirit saw creation happen. He was there. So what I want you to do is close your eyes really quick and imagine creation happening, okay? Imagine God doing his thing and creation starts happening, okay? Holy Spirit's chilling. He's hovering over the waters and that's what's going on. It's this crazy scene. And even at that moment, Holy Spirit was sitting there so excited because he gets to live with you. He gets to hang out with you in every moment. When you're brushing your teeth, when you're going to the bathroom, which is gross, he wants to be there and he wants to hang out with you. When you're sleeping and you're drooling all over yourself, he's like, you're so cool. You're my best friend. That's awesome. I think, at least, that the incredible God that created absolutely everything, that could do anything. Not to mention, he could literally, you can open your eyes now if you want, he could literally change the world at the snap of fingers. He's that big. He's that good. But yet, he stopped and he's like, I don't want to just boom on everybody. I don't want to just be like, ba-boom, here's my love, take it. You know, and shove it down people's throat and everybody changes and everybody's in love with the Lord. He didn't want to do that. He wants everybody to know him. He wants his people to come to him. But instead of him doing it with his own power and just like, ba-boom, he's like, I'm going to use my weak people. I'm going to use the janitors. I'm going to use the high school students. I'm going to use my people because that's how highly I think of them, because I love them, because I want to get intimate with them, because I want to be personal. That's crazy. That's awesome. It just baffles me. And I think back to when I was sitting there as a, like growing up and I was so scared and I was like, Holy Spirit's just this crazy guy that makes people do crazy things. And I'm not saying that that he's going to make you get on the ground and bark like a dog. I've seen it. It was weird to me. But the Lord was like, Micah, check your heart, bro. Like, I'm just doing something in them. Like, they need, just as I needed to scream at you in tongues, they needed to get down on the ground and bark like a dog for me to reveal. And it's like, whatever, okay. I don't know where it is in Scripture, but like, Lord, I'm not going to sit here and say you're not working in that person's life. Because that person's life, that is your concern, and I am simply here to love on them and encourage them and correct them when you say so. But right now, you're trying to say something very specific to me that is, like, I'm a gentleman. I think that is one of my favorite parts about Holy Spirit, is that he's a gentleman. And so I remember I came out of the Baptist church, and I went to the New Life School of Worship, and there's like Jared Anderson and all these big worship leaders, and everything's charismatic and everything's crazy and everybody's running around and doing all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, I can't handle it. I'm so nervous. Like, I'm not as spiritual as these people are. Or what, like, all of these things, you know what goes through your head. And like, all these things are running through my head, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do? And Holy Spirit just simply asked me this simple question, Micah, do you want to take it a step further with me? Do you want to like kind of up the game with me? Do you want to get a little bit more personal? Do you want to let me in a little bit more? Because in all reality, what I was doing, it was I was letting my fear put up a wall in my heart that Holy Spirit couldn't get it into. And Holy Spirit simply just said, Micah, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to force myself on you. That's not how I work. So I'm asking you, can I come in a little further? Can you give a little bit more to me? Can you let me take a little bit more of your life? Can we up the ante? Okay. I guess, and I remember this feeling of like I was walking on this branch, this like teeny little branch, and it just broke. And like I was like, there's no turning back now. Like there's no branches underneath me. I said yes to this thing that I thought is so crazy, and this God, this part of God that I thought was just nuts, and there's no turning back now. And Holy Spirit, little by little, showed himself to me in very simple ways. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. Because he doesn't just forsake everything he knows about you. Holy Spirit thinks about how, like, he communicates with you. He knows how you're feeling and all these things. And he wants to communicate with you the best way you're going to listen. It's like a parent. It's like a parent knows how, I'm not a parent, but there's parents in the room. And I'm assuming, like my dad would always say, like, because I have a couple siblings, and he would talk to us all very differently. I was the crazy, tactile, like, always touching everything and, like, just crazy kid. I was the kid that would always put his hand on the burner when it was red because I didn't believe my dad that it was hot. I was like, no, it's just red. And, like, that was me. And I was pretty arrogant as a kid and pretty prideful. And, like, but my brother Sam is, like, this gentle, artsy. As a kid, a lot of people just thought he was, like, super weird. And so there was a very different ways that my dad would talk to us. And there was, like, things spiritually going on in me, and my dad would approach them different ways than he would with my brother. And that's how Holy Spirit is. He's going to approach you in a different way. And so don't, first off, if you see the Lord doing something crazy, quote unquote, in someone else's life, which probably is, which is awesome, don't let that discourage you that you don't know him well enough because he's not doing that in your life. Say you go to something and, like, gold dust falls on them, and you're like, whoa, okay, all right. And you're like, why didn't gold dust fall on me? It's not because Holy Spirit's like mad at you. Holy Spirit's just like, no, I communicate different with you. You didn't need gold dust to make you know who I am in this moment. You didn't need this thing for me to speak clearly to you. Sometimes you might. A lot of time I need the Lord to wrestle me to the ground because I am still fairly arrogant and prideful, and the Lord is working on it. I'm not like a, yes, Lord. I'm always like, you're going to have to put my hip out of place. Like, let's go. You know, and I know I'm going to lose. But, like, he talks to us all differently. And so be encouraged. But at the same time, you have to let him in. And so I challenge you, no matter what, where you are with Holy Spirit, to let him in a little more. Because he really isn't that scary. He might do crazy things. Since then, I've gotten to see a ton of awesome things. And every single one has been terrifying. I've gotten to see limbs grow back in Asia. And it was super weird. It was like a nub, and then it was a full arm and hand. And that's not, it has nothing to do with me. It's not because I'm like super awesome or something. It's not. You probably all know that. But it's simply just like Holy Spirit was just like, hey, I want you to pray for this person that their arm's going to come back. Lord, I don't know if you, I don't know about that. Like, I believe you can do it pretty easily, but like, surely you want to use someone else, or surely whatever it is, whatever excuse I have to lob at the Lord that's rooted probably in sin or disbelief or fear of man, because I was scared to ask a man if I could pray for his arm to go back because it was awkward, or so I thought it was. But the guy got his arm back because I finally was just like, okay, Lord, like, I'm done arguing. You can do this. I'm going to be simply obedient. Holy Spirit, I believe that you are powerful enough to do this. So I'm going to actually let you in. I'm going to actually let you do what you want to do on the earth. I'm going to actually let you, in my life, continue the work of Jesus. And I'm going to stop for a second, and I'm not going to let all this junk and all these this disbelief and all this like fear of man and all this junk get in the way of you actually doing what you want to do. Because I think most of the time, I'm going to go out on a limb, and the band can go back up on stage. Is that cool? Not back, but you can go on stage. But I think Holy Spirit is talking to you a lot more than you realize. Because I'm pretty sure on a daily basis, he's probably, maybe you go to Starbucks, and there's a lady at Starbucks giving you your drink, and he might be simply saying, like, this lady needs to know how much I love her. You don't have to preach the whole gospel. You just need to tell her that, like, she needs to hear that right now. Or, hey, this person, this total stranger, they need you to just sit with them. That lonely kid, they need you to just sit with them right now. And I think often we hear it, and I'm going to guess I know that you guys know what I'm talking about. As you go throughout your day and you get these little promptings, these little like, maybe I should go do that. That's probably Holy Spirit saying, hey, I really want to continue the work of Jesus. I didn't want to ever stop, and I want to use you so bad. And he's just waiting. Waiting for you to say yes. And what can happen if you actually do? So what I want you to realize is that the Almighty God wanted to live inside of you because he wanted to do nothing short of change the world through you. He wants to use you to change the world. And I know that's like this, like, I'm going to change the world. You know, like, it's like this, like, no, I'm not. But yes, you are. And it's those things in your heart that say, no, I'm not. And it's that fear. I can do it. We can do it. I want to use you. I have gifted you. I have made you someone that can truly impact the world. And it might be in your future job or your school or another nation or I don't care where it is. The Lord wants to use you because he thinks highly of you. He wants to continue the work of Jesus. Because Holy Spirit wants to go crazy in your life. He wants to get intimate with you. He wants to help you. He wants to assist you. He wants to guide you.